But traditionally, allowing the processing of our emotions has been done quietly and internally. And what that does is it keeps them internal. And actually, what we really need to do is allow them to come out into the world. That is our expression. Otherwise, it would be internment, I would say. Hi, and welcome to Ramblings of a Mad Woman. Today I'm going to talk about feelings. Big feelings, small feelings, middling feelings, all the feelings. Don't you feel and think that the access, acknowledgement, and expansion of our feelings make us human and may just be the key to how humanity will both progress, evolve, and ultimately survive? Clearly, AI is a huge topic, but I don't want to talk about that today. I want to talk about humanity, cosmic humanity, embodied humanity, what it means to really own our feelings. If you're Gen X, or actually pretty much anybody, but especially Gen X, I would say, you have grown up in a world where you were told not to cry. You might have experienced crying out as a baby. And as a child, I know I did. I learned not to cry because nobody came, especially as a child. So I learned not to cry. I learned to stuff those feelings down. I am sure that you have experienced something similar. I'm sure you've been told not to be so sensitive. That's a big one, right? To get over it, not to be touchy, not to be fussy. Oh, that's an interesting one, right? Are you being fussy over your food, over your clothes, over your plans for the day? I don't know about you as well, but I did not experience hugging until the 2000s. So my family were not huggers. I grew up in Scotland. Maybe that was part of it, but certainly our generation. It was not until the influx of American culture in the form of Friends in particular that people started to hug in the United Kingdom. This might sound absolutely bonkers to other people, especially Americans. But yeah, it wasn't until like the late 90s, 2000s that we really started to hug each other, to greet each other and say, "Oh, hi, how are you doing?" And now it's like ingrained in our culture. We do it all the time. So there's an interesting cultural shift, definitely. And yet at the same time, feelings are very much encouraged to be in that particular bandwidth. So not too much and not too little in terms of not too little, not too low. So not too high, not too low, just right. That Goldilocks area of what is acceptable in society. And we can see this in our children, obviously, can't we? If you go to the supermarket and you see a toddler having a tantrum and everybody's like, "Oh God, can't they just like shut them up or quiet them down or, maybe even give them a hug?" I find that so fascinating because a child has no filter. They are doing what is most natural to them in terms of what they need at that moment. They're saying, in the only way they can possible, that something's not okay. And they probably don't even know exactly what it is, but something doesn't feel right. And they're responding to that. Their body, their voice, their expression is expressing that to their carer of the moment, to the world, if need be, to the people who around them who are supposed to be their safety, their comfort. in this world that they are just beginning to understand. And it is our response to shut them down. If you are a little bit more tuned in, a little bit more aware, then your response might be, can I get down to their level to ask them if they want a hug, maybe just to go in with a hug if that feels right for both of you. But at some level, trying to figure out what they really need in that moment rather than just reacting. And that is no judgment, because I'm a parent. I have done the reacting. I still do the reacting. It's normal, okay? And especially when we've grown up in a society that just says, you're not allowed to express your emotions. And when you express your emotions loudly for all to hear, you're doing something wrong. So, how can we begin to redress this for ourselves? Because when that suppression happens, it leads to so many issues, both personally and collectively. Now, let's talk personally, first of all. When we begin to suppress and deny and gaslight our emotions and feelings, we disconnect from them. We stop understanding them. We stop seeing them as messengers in particular. Our feelings are messages from the body, from the soul, from the spirit, from our self, our core self, that something is not right. And I find it so deeply sad that we have disconnected so much that sometimes we can't even figure out that that's what's going on. So I'll give you an example. I've just been through a few days of just feeling really funky in myself and feeling like there might be a root cause, but not really knowing exactly what it was. And just sitting with that really funkiness, and it's so uncomfortable. It's so kind of fidgety and irritating and just heavy and blah. You know, it's almost like a sickness, but it's just there. It's just in the body. And yes, I found myself wanting to numb out. Yes, I found myself wanting to eat constantly to kind of like try and fill whatever that void was, that ickiness. And yet, when we begin to really, really sit with, really, really honor, really, really say hello to those emotions, those feelings, that's when they begin to actually move and process. I liken it a little bit to digestion, actually. Because we have this expectation with feelings that they should kind of just be, you know, on or off, yes or no, really clear, really obvious. That if you're sad, you know, you should just kind of cry if you need to and get it out and move on. There's always an expectation of moving on with our feelings, like get over it already. And yet there is, we're missing the processing. So that's our fix it culture, isn't it? It's like, you're sad. Okay, what can we do? Let's give you some ice cream. Let's give you a hug. Let's, you know, maybe do some journaling if you're into that kind of thing. But then let's move on. Let's get on already. And yet, feelings need to process through the body, through the mind as well. We need to amalgamate both the body and the mind so that we can integrate all of our experience. We want to bring the spirit, the soul, all of our energy into that clearly as well. When you eat something, you don't just go and poop it out immediately. Okay, this is a crude example, but I think it's quite a good one when it comes to feelings. You know, and you have that expectation that you have a period of time. You might know roughly what that is for yourself, or you might have absolutely no idea. So you eat something, and at some point later, you feel it, you might even feel it kind of moving through your digestive tract. You might feel those peristaltic changes happening. And then at some point you go to the toilet, okay? But with feelings, we don't allow that process. We typically want to rush it. So instead of allowing ourselves to process our feelings, we disconnect from them. We try and stuff them down with, you know, food or Netflix or alcohol or cigarettes or, you know, sex or whatever it is, to some sort of addiction that we are used to using personally for our very own brand of feelings suppression. And this is deemed to be normal. I think, you know, not one person amongst us can say that they have not grown up with this automatic suppression, denial, and ultimately gaslighting of our own feelings. And of course, that spreads out, isn't it? Doesn't it? So when we go out into the world and we see somebody having a meltdown, or we see even somebody crying in public, or shouting, or laughing too loudly in a public place, we have that automatic judgment of, wow, they're having a bad moment or a bad day, or, you know, they think a lot of themselves because they're letting themselves laugh loudly and be really flamboyant. And don't you find that sad? Like, I'd really love to know what your reaction is. For me, this is the core of our humanity. And without our feelings, without our natural emotions, allowing them to be present in and flow through us and be expressed, without that, what are we? We are automatons. We are going through the motions of what society says is acceptable for us. The acceptable range, the acceptable procedure, the acceptable algorithm of what it means for them to be human. And actually, I would say that the reason that we have such a widespread issue around chronic health, chronic mental health issues in particular, is because we are not honoring, acknowledging, embodying, and expressing our emotions, our feelings. Now, I want to talk a little bit about big feelings in this, because when we're going around day to day, it can be easy to say, yeah, you know, I'm feeling happy, I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling hungry, I'm feeling horny, I'm feeling irritated, I'm feeling frustrated. So many of us now are part of a personal development culture. You know, we do our journaling, we do our meditation, we do our yoga, we do our visualizations and so on. And so I hope that we are beginning to be more connected back to our feelings. And yet I still see very much that when people are really struggling, it's because they are not allowing themselves to express the really big stuff. And by big, I mean both the lows and the highs. So one really good example is celebration. And I would particularly like to address this: celebration without alcohol, without drugs, celebration, just you with your friends, with your community, with your natural energies. How comfortable are you with that? Like, when you achieve something, however big or small, how comfortable are you really in celebrating that, feeling real joy and pleasure about that, and feeling okay to celebrate that with the people around you? Another big one in terms of a positive or a high feeling is like excitement, joy. I would love to hear if this is something that you struggle with. When you feel those little tingles, those little bubbles of joy, what do you do with them? Do you allow them to overflow and express themselves in your life? Or do you kind of try and tap them down because they're actually uncomfortable? You're so unused to feeling joy or allowing joy in your life that it feels uncomfortable. Some other really big feelings on the lower dimensions that I see people struggle with a lot, especially in terms of processing. Like, I keep going back to this processing of emotions because everything is so fast now. Everything is so, right, okay, let's fix it. Let's get it done. Let's get it over with. Let's move on to the next thing. But when it comes to feelings, those lower vibrational feelings of frustration, of depression, of lethargy and disconnection and loneliness, so many of these things we just don't even begin to allow ourselves to process because it feels so yucky. And oh my gosh, I can absolutely relate to this. I still go there. I still struggle with this. When I'm really struggling with something like loneliness or frustration or disconnection, it feels kind of itchy and like uncomfortable and like I want to wriggle it out, I want to shake it out, but I can't always do that, or it's not enough just to like do the shaking of it out. And that's when the numbing mechanisms come in, typically, you know. And I think that there is a period when we are processing our emotions that is actually okay. So I would say once you have begun to acknowledge that something is really uncomfortable, like you're beginning to really feel the emotion itself, you're beginning to really say hello to it in the body. If it feels too much at that point, I think that's okay to use those points of numbing out, of escaping for a little while. So, you know, allowing yourself to watch something silly or mindless, or listen to some music, or reading a book, or eating some popcorn, or, you know, a bar of chocolate, whatever, watching Netflix, just all of these things really can help us just to create a little bit of space. It's not even distance, it's space to allow us to subconsciously begin to process those emotions. But where this becomes a bad habit, where this becomes a real issue, is when we stay there and we don't go back to allowing that processing to come back into our awareness, our consciousness, and really understanding why those emotions came up in the first place and what they were asking for. This is the real key, is that all of our feelings, as I said at the beginning, are messengers. They are messages from our core as to something that we desperately need, something that is not being addressed within us. And so if we routinely avoid actually acknowledging and seeing those emotions and what they're asking for, then we are routinely denying our core self whatever it really is it needs. And we're going to keep repeating that pattern over and over and over and over again, never allowing ourselves to actually evolve and to express ourselves more fully. Some really brilliant techniques of moving into that phase of really honoring the emotions, your feelings in your body, are shaking, getting the, you know, the nervous system reset completely by shaking completely through your body, taking the breath all the way down into the ground and all the way back up and out. Singing, using the voice and allowing yourself to sing, to hum, to shout, to scream, and allowing that to come up from your womb space. Like, we have that power center, that creativity, that emotional center for a reason. And so allow it to open, allow it to expand, allow it to come up and out. Expression is a key thing in processing our emotions. And this is something that really isn't touched upon a lot. You know, drumming circles are becoming more and more popular because it allows you to tap into the rhythm and the creation of the music and the beat, as well as using your voice. All the drumming circles I've been at, you're encouraged to use your voice as well. However feels right for you, of course. But traditionally, you know, allowing the processing of our emotions has been done quietly and internally. And what that does is it keeps them internal. And actually, what we really need to do is allow them to come out into the world. That is our expression. Otherwise, it would be interment, I would say. And I explore this so much. I explore this deeply in my sacred expression method, where we get on some life-size paper and have some colored pastels, and we use our whole body, both of our hands, and we really get into our soul, our sacred, our spirit, our embodied, our mental, emotional expression. And I am exploring this in sacred circle with a group of intimate women right now in my Lunacy group. So if that interests, intrigues, fascinates you, you can join that in the link below. So this has just been a taster, a little dip into the pool of allowing ourselves to explore our emotions and begin to really embody and express our emotions. And I can definitely see myself expanding on this in a future episode. If you would love to hear more, if you'd love to chat more, discuss more, and find out more, let me know in the comments. And in particular, what difficulties or challenges come up for you in embodying, exploring, expanding, and expressing your own emotions and feelings. If you've enjoyed this episode, I would love you to, first of all, check out my book. It's Written in the Stars. You can buy it on Amazon and all good bookshops, and of course on my website, which is zoekmfoster.com/books for the book. And if you're really, really fascinated by this exploration into your own values, embodiment, creativity, expression, messiness, humanity, cosmic humanity, I would love to invite you into my Lunacy Circle. My monthly sacred circle allows us to explore our embodied, sacred, expansive, connected expression. It is so juicy and delicious, and it's all about learning to connect with pleasure, awe, wonder, all of it. Yummy. For more juicy topics like this, hit the subscribe button so that you always get my episodes, and like and share this video.